football on off the ball.
And if we do that, I believe this team will go down as one of the greatest teams.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
What is Sligo best known for? Well, according to a quick Google, it's world-renowned for its beauty of its landscape and the warmth of its people. Both traits encapsulated, of course, every day by the man to my right. It's Arthur J.O.D.
Hello. I was a little less detailed.
Are you well?
Flying, yeah.
You seem it. This past month, while one era-defining Irishman in sports, formerly named Mr. Hannan in his early 30s, walked away, another, thankfully, is staying in the game. With sadness and gratitude, we say goodbye to on-pitch Declan. With relief and joy, we welcome home in studio Shane. Hannan.
Imagine why. No relation, yeah, Declan. People think when you have a certain surname that maybe they don't hear every day that every person with that surname is related to you. I get Katie Hannan and RTE a lot. Oh, you must be related. You're both in the media. I'm not. Declan Hannan, no. You're both in sport. No, absolutely not. So no relation, but fair play to Declan. Great career.
Are there any other Bouigs out there?
Not one and only, mate.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you ever hear the name, it's to do with me. And if it's something bad, you never do with me, mate. No, but seriously, I don't say it. Come on. Yeah.
Where does it come from?
West Cork.
Oh, what's the origination of it?
Do you want to know?
I do generally, because I've never heard anything even close.
I'll tell you something mad about that.
It's actually a Halloween name as well.
Boo. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. Just for this day, it was worth it.
Yeah.
O'Sullivan Buick, victorious O'Sullivans. The Buick clan separated from the O'Sullivans. The English came in and anglicised all the Irish names. And the difference maker Typical. In B-O-O-H-I-G is that it was accidentally spelled phonetically.
The English ruined it.
Therefore, it is a non-existent name. Wow. And we know this for sure because my grandmother worked in UCC and looked into the history of the name and found this out. So we are the only ones. And I'll actually go a bit further with you. The name is in jeopardy.
Oh no.
Because we are a girl-heavy family in the wider Buig scheme of things. So if everyone gets married and goes the traditional route of taking the husband's name.
Yeah.
It is only up to me.
You're doing a lot of heavy lifting.
And my two male cousins in Clonakilty. Hello, Tim. Good morning, Gar. To keep the Buick name alive.
Wow. Oh. And have they done anything to keep the name alive recently?
They're working on it. Yeah.
Working on it. Okay, very good.
Text me regularly saying, keep working.
Oh, you have a daughter, of course.
Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
Yeah. I sure do.
Do you have any idea what it means? Or what the original...
I think Bua is win, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I guess
derives from that.
So what's your name, Askeliga?
It is. It's
Buick.
It's Irish. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Because Colin Buick is both Irish and English.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, what's OD in Irish?
Some variation of just O and D, H E A or D. Yeah. That's the only way I've ever seen it anyway. But yeah.
Where does Hannan come from? Which county?
Sean O'Hannon. It's Adam Dunn. Galway, Limerick. Yeah, Galway, Limerick. So I think it was Clare.
Your papa's a Galwegian.
He's Dunmore, North Galway.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Bit of inside baseball is I know Declan Hannan's cousin David, who was a ringer for Paul Merson.
Right, okay. How did we get here? 7:34 a.m. on Friday morning.
It is Halloween. Let's be serious here for a second. It is Halloween, right? So, what does the footballer Noel Whelan mean to you? Do you know the stat?
No, I don't know the stat.
This might be one of the great football stats. Noel Whelan played a Premier League game, played many Premier League games. One time in 1998, he played a game on the 31st of October. Noel Whelan and Halloween. Every letter of Noel Whelan is the word Halloween.
Wow. I like that one. Now, I've got some spooky names as well, comments.
Yeah.
Please let us know any football or spooky names that you have for Halloween. Jack-o'-lantern Grealish, Ryan Gravenberg, Jude Hellingham, Spookus Radebe, Goolian Dix, Screamo Werner, Jonathan Spector, didn't have to change much there, maybe the spelling, Luis Buamorte.
Yeah.
But some poor ones. Fabu Vieira, that's horrendous. GG Boo Fawn. A lot of boo puns in there. But I did look it up, and funny, Google and AI on Google tells you a few names, you know, decent ones, Casper Schmeichel and Virgil van Dijk being a couple of others. But then they just have Luis Suarez. Just Luis Suarez. Just written down. Not even a play on words.
Some great ones there.
Yeah.
They're great names, of course, and we use words to describe them.
Mm.
But there is a visual here, a visual that only myself and Joe don't know about until right now. Check this out. This is Napoli's jersey from 2023, Halloween themed. Do you see this?
I haven't seen this, no.
So for the listeners only out there, this is a load of bats flying up the jersey, for want of a better term. So the jersey is blue, the Napoli blue, and the bats, I think they've collected in such mass, Shane, that the bottom third of the jersey is all black. And they are climbing, or in their case, flying up the jersey. Napoli, and they did the same, well, we don't have a picture, but we did the same the previous year with their white jersey. They just did the opposite colours.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Napoli, not afraid to try things.
Mm.
So, Ireland against New Zealand, Shane.
Yes.
You pumped?
Pumped, yeah, yeah. It kind of snuck up this game, I feel like.
Yeah, I was making this exact point yesterday, and no one seemed to want to engage with it at all.
Yeah.
A few.
It has snuck up. You know, Six Nations gets a massive lead in from basically the 1st of January onwards. Notwithstanding
that. New Year's Day. Right.
We're right into it. Obviously, we've Champions Cup, but from an international perspective, it's all, you know, February, we're ready to go. Six Nations.
You wake up with a big head in your New Year's Day.
Six Nations around the corner.
England, picking them in 6 weeks.
Well, I think it's maybe once the dart ends, so maybe after the 3rd of January, potentially, once Ali Pally's over.
The 1st of January.
But I think this game in particular has
a huge lead in. It's like a World Cup.
Yeah. This game has, I don't know if you agree or disagree, this game has snuck up massively, I feel.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about it. Obviously, it depends on how Andy Farrell is going to line up this team in terms of the number 10 position. Is he going to give two games apiece to each of Crowley and Prendergast? Yeah. Is he going to give 1-3 and 1-1?
Yeah.
Remains to be seen, but the team news that came out yesterday was particularly interesting on a couple
of
fronts.
Wasn't it? So I'll go through the team really quickly here. So the front row, Andrew Porter, Dan Sheehan, Tyke Furlong. No surprises there with Sheehan captaining in Kieran Darce's absence, but Darce, of course, is back on the bench. First time since May when he got injured. James Ryan and Ty Byrne are the second rows. So Ty Byrne's going back into the second row.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back row is Ryan Baird, Josh Van Der Veer, and Jack Conan, who's playing his first minutes since the Lions in the final test. Baird is maybe for some people a surprising selection. Our own Dara called it in the Green 15 this week. It's actually an absence of second row depth when you're missing Joe McCarthy.
Mm.
So that's the forwards. Then the backs, James Gibson Park and Jack Crowley, of course, partner each other at half back. Out wide, you have James Lowe and then Tommy O'Brien. Fullback is Jamie Osborne. The second centre is Gary Ringrose. But inside centre, wow. Big Stew. Stuart McCluskey, who of course is a friend of ours, who was on with us during the Six Nations this year.
Until he got called in.
And made no bones about it that he would rather have been in the Six Nations. And was. He manifested that for himself. And now he's manifested himself a starting berth against the All Blacks. The last time he played against the Tier 1 nation was Wales.
Mm. Six Nations last
33.
Year.
No, we've been calling for what?
Barely a tier one
Barely.
Nation. I think.
Take that clip.
Reopen that all down the worms.
It doesn't quite answer the question of like the World Cup in 2027 and getting the youth in because he's 33. Mm. But at least it's different.
Yeah, in that position, the average age in that position seems to be maybe an area of concern beyond that World Cup because, yeah, as you said, McCluskey's 33, but. Yeah, it's fascinating. He probably deserves it given the form that he's been in this season, albeit at an early stage and even in the last couple of years with that Ulster team. I'm delighted to see it. He seems like a nice lad anytime he's been on the show as well. He seems like a good head in his shoulders. Obviously reads the game very well. He'd probably be a good pundit after he retires as well. But yeah, delighted to see it for him. And if he has a big performance, you know, 7.5, 8 out of 10 sort of performance against New Zealand, then he really kind of solidifies himself over the next couple of tests, maybe with all those injury worries. So yeah, that was the interesting one. Obviously, Caelan Darce, as you mentioned, you know, to not play in 6 months after that shoulder surgery is be surprised to see him play much more than a very small part this weekend. But obviously, if he's in the squad, he's ready to go. And Tommy O'Brien, obviously, in the right wing as well with Mac Hansen. That was the other one that jumped out to me. So it'll be interesting to see. New Zealand are kind of coming into it. I don't know, it seems like a lot of people's favourites, maybe narrow favourites. Obviously played more recently than Ireland potentially, so it's hard to know where Ireland are at heading into this one. So yeah, pumped. That was the original question. Are you pumped?
No, I bet you're
pumped. Yeah, so looking forward to it.
Will you dual screen on Saturday night with Liverpool Aston Villa, or will you go all in on the All Blacks?
Yeah, that'll be a tough decision actually. Yeah, you kind of watch. You have to start with the All Blacks game, don't you? See how it's going.
You'll catch the first 10 minutes, Liverpool.
Yeah, true. So it's 8:10 start.
Yeah, 8:10.
Are we sure about that? It's not an 8 o'clock start.
No, 8:10. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because we were chatting outside. Phil was making the point that there's a lot of strange start.
Double
checked
it there.
Yeah. Now, Google says 8 p.m.
Does it?
Ireland Japan 12:40. Ireland Australia will be 8:10, and Ireland South Africa set 5:40. So I don't know.
Huh. Ireland Japan is 12:40.
Yeah.
Strange one on a Saturday afternoon.
So that's obviously going to be 8:40 in Japan.
Good for the lads, yeah.
God almighty, yeah. That'll be a low tempo game.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, that's the second one Saturday week, the 8th of November. So yeah, strange kickoff times, but I'm still open to correction, but according to Google, it's an 8 p.m. start tomorrow night.
It was 8:10. With the great Ben Smith on yesterday.
Oh, yes.
He was talking about, he scored one of the cancellations, right? That turned out to be in Soldier Field Part 1.
Mm.
And he's confident, but there's a bit of trepidation from the Kiwis towards Ireland.
Yeah.
But doesn't that, everyone's saying we're undercooked, you know, but isn't that always the case going into November? Sure, Ireland wouldn't have played for a long time before the November internationals.
Yeah, it's hard to get up to the peak of international rugby.
So, but a lot of them would have played at the Lions.
True.
So
You weren't at Soldier Field. Jer was at Soldier Field, wasn't he?
Jer was, yeah.
No.
Yeah. We had Pat McGarry in yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He was reporting on it, yeah.
Classic game.
Yeah.
Club.
But that game was on Air Sports, and now defunct Air Sports, in November 2016. This is free to air. So there's a bit of a mythology to that game. Not so much this time around.
Mm.
You calling it? Ireland? New Zealand? We'll get back to this, of course.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. New Zealand, I think, will maybe shade it, but yeah, I'm not going to lean too heavily into that.
I'll tell you how excited some people are about this game, anyway. Some people, right? Quinny will be on remotely. I tell you how it's coming on remotely. Darren Smith-Nathan is off today. He's off today. He's not working, but he's coming on later because he's so excited about Stuart McCluskey. It's adorable for these Ulster lads. Are you happy?
Like, even though I'm from the province of Ulster, I wouldn't really define myself as an Ulster lad.
What
my province
would you support Connacht over Ulster?
When I was younger, I probably did, yeah, because dad was
your dad.
Connacht. Yeah, I tended to.
Yeah, when Ulster Championship rolls round.
Ulster Championship rolls round. Yeah. I'm very much an Ulster man.
Yeah.
What is it?
But I'm not an Ulster man. It's just you know, obviously there's a lot of politics there with the Ulster rugby team.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. But it would never have. And also Monaghan's not a massive rugby county, notwithstanding Tommy Bow. So, you know, it was never a thing. It's more of a private school thing. I came from more of a working class sort of environment.
Oh, is Dara privileged?
Dara potentially could be privileged. Yeah. He's got the double barrel surname, which helps. Do you know? No, I'm not. Dara's definitely not a privileged man. He's a good gam man as well, in fairness. But any chance I get to slag a cat?
You meant
man,
that as a compliment, and you think he's definitely not a privileged man.
True, yes, yeah. Well, I did say his initials stood for Don't Spend Nothing, because he's from Cavan, of course. That was that crappy quiz.
Yeah, that came up in the intro last week.
It did, yeah.
All right. Now, you were listening to our reading, I should say, Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
And I had missed this, right? So the crack was 300 appearances for Manchester United, wanted to market and explained the Saudi stuff.
Yeah. They put him in front of the media. Well, he put himself in front of the media. He's obviously very giving of interviews, but spoke for half an hour to journalists. And I heard Laurie Whitwell talking about this during the week. He was there and just fascinating him talking about the Saudi Arabia links. It certainly haven't gone away and won't be going away, but a conversation with his wife was very much the reason why he decided to stay. She asked him, have you achieved all you want to achieve at Old Trafford? And of course, the answer was no. So we decided to keep going. Spoke to Cristiano Ronaldo as well about what it's like over there. And it certainly hasn't gone away, but he wants it to go away between now and the end of the World Cup. And of course, Portugal, one of the fancy teams in the World Cup. Mm. But he also really spoke interestingly about, he said, look, I have, obviously people say I've been one of the best players for United in recent seasons. I want that to stop. We're starting to see the dividends of that now with Cunha and Mbeumo to the fore, and maybe the reliance on Bruno will be a bit less. And he also said very interestingly that he He feels he is running more now in his current guise this season, in that position, kind of with Casemiro alongside him. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because Casemiro's beside him. But he's running more now than he was in that kind of number 10 role, which I find really interesting as well. I kind of had him in the back of my head that maybe he's doing less running, but not the case according to Bruno Fernandes. So, yeah, he's... And you mentioned this before the show, and you asked the question to myself and Arthur, is he a club legend?
Mm.
Like, I think the answer immediately to that is yes. And I know maybe he hasn't lifted a Premier League trophy with the club, and that's probably what he wants to achieve before he leaves. Whether or not he's going to achieve that, I don't know. Jim Ratcliffe, I think, said 2028 wasn't in those plans for maybe getting back and lifting a Premier League trophy. Feels far away at the moment. But yeah, I think Bruno Fernandes immediately goes into the club legends category. Because he's not a cult hero. He's above that, of course.
Yep.
So I think he's reached legend status. I don't think that's a controversial thing to say, is it?
What do you think?
Yeah, it'll probably depend a little bit on what happens after. If they get back to some semblance of where they were, then he's a good man who kind of kept the candles burning in harder years. But you can't really fault what he's done. He's been definitively there. But like, it's funny you're chatting about this. Like, you're kind of talking about all the post Ferguson signings. So he's far and away the best of them.
Oh yeah,
because you're only looking now, and you're like, weigh him on everything else. It's very early days, but like, he's like, oh, this one's actually worked. But in terms of what he's done, like, he's been fantastic. Like, his numbers and stuff are amazing. Like, and he's kind of, you never know. Like, I don't think it's so simple to say as if, oh, if he wasn't there, things would be so much worse. I'm sure things would just be different. Yeah. But he's just, he's done extremely well. He's not perfect, but he has done extremely well. So I'd be hard. Like, it's a different sort of thing.
I'm having that, yeah. That's a good summary for me. Is that like his numbers are off the charts?
Yeah,
Lampardian from midfield.
Yeah,
but I think the crucial point there is, without him, would they be better or worse? They'd just be different, and I'm totally on board with that too. So it's a weird one with him, because I think he just annoys people, doesn't he? With his gesticulating and
that's just a personality.
Yeah, there's something about him that people are like, ah, but like, he signed for the club in January 2020, so approaching 6 years, and the amount of times he's bailed that team out.
Yeah.
And always basically been able to play.
Like, yeah. Doesn't get injured. Play. And the guy plays the whole game. And he's had to have done many, many a post-match interview where he's explaining what he just lost 3-0.
And he's also statesman, like, in his leadership style. Like, he's, even that time, was it last year for the FA Cup final, he offered to pay for accommodation and travel and tickets for club staff that were maybe getting those privileges pulled. So like, he always stands up and speaks out these things. Now, I'd be interested to hear him. Look, footballers aren't perfect, but as that statesman-like figure, obviously heading over to play potentially in Saudi Arabia, a country with so many human rights abuses, I'd be interested to hear his take on that. I'm sure that will come up in the conversation over the next year or two if he does head over there. But really likeable kind of guy off the pitch in his interviews. Yeah. And I can see why opposition fans maybe don't like him, but he's been a massive servant to Manchester United. And yeah, maybe another year or two and lift another couple of trophies, potentially. Leaves as a legend.
A stacked production box there, because Keith Friday has joined Keith Tracy, so we'll have him imminently in here. We'll
the get two them of
on,
them are here.
Yeah, we'll get them on that.
Never seen together.
Liverpool during the week. How would you describe them?
Abysmal. The issue here I have with Liverpool during the week was I thought Arne Slot's selection was nothing short of a disgrace. Like, a lot of people have used this argument in the sense that the fans, the paying fans, are heading to a match. So a lot of them heading over from this country, heading over and paying accommodation, because it's obviously an evening game, flights, ferry, whatever it might be. And Liverpool tickets aren't easy to come by, even Carabao Cup games. But I just thought he was throwing in the Carabao Cup towel at a time when the club needs results in any competition. It's a mini crisis. I'm not going to call it a crisis, but the recent results at Liverpool have been a mini crisis. And that's when you need a result in the Carabao Cup against the Palace team that, by the way, are half taking the piss out of them on social media before, during and after the game.
What they say?
They're kind of just like, before the game, it was like, it's Liverpool again. And a lot of people were taken from that, that the suggestion was that they've had such a good record against Liverpool that, you know, it's just Liverpool again. But then after the game, it was like, it's a win against Liverpool again. So there is a little bit of that. And Palace were by far the better team, obviously put out a stronger lineup as well, but it was even, you expect to see when a Liverpool team, a starting 11 is that young and inexperienced, the bench will be fairly stacked, that, you know, if the game starts going against them, they'll bring on these heavyweights, but the bench was so young as well. And someone like Rio and Gamoa, who has had no game time after such a brilliant pre-season for Liverpool, like, he obviously got 86, 87 minutes the other night, but he should be playing a lot more football, not just Carabao Cup. But now that the Carabao Cup is gone, where is he going to get his game time? Because Arne Slot clearly doesn't trust him to play him more. So I just thought I didn't like his team selection at all. And yep. I can look, they have big games coming up against City and Real Madrid, but still, it felt like a throwing in the towel.
He did justify that afterwards. Arne Slot is saying he did the same thing in the same stage last season.
Yeah. And then they went on to go win the league. So I understand that logic. But I just think at the moment, when they've had so many poor results recently, I think that just brought this game into the must-win category for a Carabao Cup game, which seems a strange thing to say, just to bring the thing back up a level. But no, clearly wasn't concerned or interested, and he's probably quite happy to be out of the competition.
Big words. Is Bruno Fernandes a legend? Is there any sort of disgrace? There's no 0879-180-180 WhatsApp, or get us on YouTube. Over to your breakfast at UPMC Orthopaedic Care, when things will move, rotate or bend like they used to choose us to help you get back.